Now, you're going to find the message today to be interesting, I hope informative, I know controversial. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading with verse 27, Matthew 19, verse 27. And I want you to follow in the script my subject, what about rewards in heaven? Now that's interesting, isn't it? What about rewards in heaven? I'm going to answer some questions about rewards in heaven. And I want you to listen carefully to this message now. We're going to cover a lot of ground, and I hope provoke some thought, some study, some interest. I'd like for you to follow. Don't leave me now in the middle of the broadcast. You stay all the way through. Now, the Apostle Peter said to the Master, now this is important here, this is the background for this message. The Apostle Peter said to the Master, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Or what shall be our reward?" The Master answered Peter this way, "There'll be a special place for you who are my disciples," talking about the 12 thrones and the 12 tribes, "and everyone that hath believed on me. There'll be a special place for you. And all of you who have believed on me and suffered for my sake, you shall receive a hundredfold, and you shall inherit eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then our Lord spake this parable unto them. Now, as I've said to you before, and I'd repeat it again, when you want to study a parable in the Scripture, you find out what was said, the occasion, the people who said it, what was said before our Lord spake the parable. Usually, always was something was said to him, always, and then he spake a parable or a story to cover that subject, to illustrate that subject. Peter, what is the occasion? Well, the Apostle Peter and the disciples had said to the Master, "Lord, we've left everything, and we followed you. Now, what's going to be our reward?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Well, you have a special place. You're going to inherit eternal life. And all who believe on me and all who suffer for my sake, for my glory, are going to have a special place, going to have eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then our Lord spake this parable unto them and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, who went out early in the morning, 6 a.m., to hire laborers to work in his vineyard." He went down to the marketplace, 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun was just up. And he found some men standing about idle in the marketplace. And he said, "I've got a big vineyard up here. I need some laborers. Will you work for me?" They said, "What'll you pay?" He said, "I'll pay you a Roman penny a day." "Well, that's fine." "All right." He took them up to his vineyard and put them to work. Well, he came back to the marketplace at 9 a.m., 3 hours later. He found some more folks standing around there idle, without jobs. He said, "You want to work?" They said, "We do. Nobody's hired us." He said, "Want to work for me?" "Yes, we want to work for you. We'll go to my vineyard, and I'll pay you what's right." And then he came back, the Scripture says here, at 12 noon, did the same thing. At 3 in the afternoon, did the same thing. And then 1 hour before sunset, 5 o'clock, 1 hour before the work day was over, he came down to the marketplace. And he found some men there standing about, the Scripture says, idle. And he said, "Why aren't you working?" They said, "Nobody's hired us. We've been here all day." Well, he said, "I'll hire you. You go work in my vineyard, and whatever's right, that's what I'll pay you." And they went up there and worked for an hour. Now, the day was over. All the men came in from the field. Some of them had been there 12 hours. Some of them had been there 9 hours. Some of them had been there 6 hours. Some of them had been there 3 hours. Some of them had just gotten into the field. And he called them all in, and he told his stewards, he says, "Pay them. Start with the last man hired and pay them all the same thing. Give them everyone the same thing. Start with them." This is the Master speaking now. Now, Peter had asked him. Peter had said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. We've gone out into the highways and the hedges, and we've suffered and been mocked and scorned and ridiculed and cast off and cast out and despised. And we've followed you, and we've left everything. We've given up everything. We've sacrificed everything. Now, what's going to be our reward? This is what he's telling him. Here's the parable. He's telling Peter. And we're on this subject of rewards. And Christ, the man who owned the field, began with the last one hired, who had worked 1 hour, and gave them all the same thing. Now, when the men who had worked all day found this out, they were upset. They were upset. They objected to that arrangement. They didn't like it a bit. That the men who had worked only 1 hour or 3 hours or 6 hours got the same thing they got. And the master asked them three questions. He said, did I not pay you what you agreed upon? Isn't that what I gave you? Did you agree to work for a Roman penny? Well, yes, we did. Well, I paid you what I agreed. Secondly, he said, can I not do with my own what I will? This is my money. This is my vineyard. It's not your money. It's not your vineyard. Can I not do with my own what I will? Well, that's true. He can, can't he? All right, the third thing he said to them was this. Why are you jealous and envious because I'm gracious? Huh? Why are you jealous and envious over the grace of God? Is it not grace? Is it not grace to those who work 12 and to those who work 1, to those who work 9, to those who work 3? It's all grace, the grace of God. Why should you be angry? Why should you be envious? Why should you be upset if God chooses to be gracious? God's not a man. God doesn't think like a man. God doesn't deal with us like a man. I'm glad he doesn't. God is merciful. Men are unmerciful. God is forgiving. Men are unforgiving. God is generous. Men are greedy. Are you envious, God says, because I am generous? Now, this parable... This is what it is. Now you listen. This parable is a rebuke to those who fall into a legal spirit of works and merit and reward. This parable is a rebuke to people who begin to calculate what their reward ought to be in heaven in exchange for their works here on this earth. And it's a rebuke to those who fall into this legal spirit regarding a kingdom of mercy, a kingdom in which a legal spirit is entirely out of place. Salvation is a gift and not debt. Now, I'm going to state the whole case right now. You listen to me. Here's the whole case. The Bible teaches that Jew and Gentile, sons of Abraham by nature and sons of Abraham by faith, Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, the Bible teaches that all men, those who are saved early in life and those who are saved late in life, those who die as martyrs and those who live out their whole existence and die quietly in bed, those who are missionaries to a foreign field, who work and labor and suffer and toil, and those unknown natives who are converted by their efforts, those who give fortunes to the kingdom of God and those who give pennies, all of them, without exception, are loved of God with the same love, the same everlasting, infinite, gracious love. That's right. They're all chosen in Christ before the world began. They're all loved with an everlasting love. They're all redeemed by the same cross, the same blood, the same Savior. They're all objects of the same grace. Every one of them, whether it's a missionary or a martyr, whether it's a preacher or a pauper, they're all loved by the same love. With the same love. And they're all redeemed with the same blood. They're all saved and justified by the same righteousness, and they're all called by the same Spirit. And they're all equally the sons of God. That's right. They're all sons of God. They're all heirs of God. They're all joint heirs of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. They're all going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. My friends, all of them are going to enjoy uninterrupted fellowship with the Son of God. Christ is our reward, and we're complete in Him, and he that hath Christ hath all things. Now I know that believers do not have the same offices and the same gifts. There were prophets and apostles. There are no more apostles. There were 12 apostles, and that's it. There aren't any apostles today. They're pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries, bishops, called in the scriptures, elders, deacons, those who serve. But there are no apostles. But there were apostles. They were given that gift by the Lord Jesus. There were prophets. There are evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There are diversities of gifts in the church. The body of Christ is made up of many members. A man may have the gift of preaching. Another man may have the gift of prayer. Another man may, or a woman may have the gift of teaching. Another person may have the gift of giving. Another may have the gift of healing. Another may have the gift of faith. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're mentioned there in the Scriptures. They're different gifts. They're diversities of gifts. All given as the Holy Spirit will. All for the glory of Christ. Our gifts are given to us. Whatever we have, God gave it to us. It's not of ourselves. It is of God. But in heaven, there's no need for these things because we're all going to be like Christ. In heaven, there's no need for a personal instruction and help from someone else and personal edification by someone else. We're all going to be like Christ. All believers do not have the same measure of grace and faith. That's right. Some have more faith than others. There's great faith and little faith. Some have more love than others. That's right. There are degrees of love. There are degrees of grace, there are degrees of humility, there are degrees of faith. There are elders in the church, there are young men, there are infants, there are babes in Christ in the church. It must be fed on the milk of the Word. All of us do not have the same degree of grace and faith. There's great faith and there's little faith. But in heaven, there's no faith. It's reality. Faith gives way to reality. You see that? Faith gives way to personal knowledge and walk. Faith gives way to sight. Hope gives way to reality in heaven. We all are with Him. So we don't need these gifts and different degrees of graces. And then all believers do not have the same capacity for knowledge, for service, and works. Now the capacity for knowledge of the Scripture, knowledge of the doctrines, and service and works has to do with a lot of things. It differs according to personality, temperament, education, age, opportunity, location, generation. Of course, the gift of God has the most to do with it. But these different capacities for knowledge and service and works are according to God's grace. But in heaven, in glory, why, every vessel of mercy prepared for glory will be equally capable of enjoying Christ. There's going to be no difference there. There's going to be no difference in offices, no difference in gifts, no difference in faith, and no difference in capacity for understanding, because now I know in part, then I shall know as I am known. You see that? There may be, now listen to me, there may be degrees of punishment in hell. The Scripture seems to indicate that there are degrees of punishment in hell. In other words, it depends on light. It depends on light. It depends on opportunity. It depends on revelation. Our Lord said that one servant knew his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. The one who knew not the master's will and did it not shall be beaten with few stripes. But these degrees of punishment in hell are based upon opportunity, are based upon works, are based upon light, are based upon sin. But, my friend, there can be no degrees of glory, for glory does not depend upon opportunity or works or sin. It depends on the grace of God, totally on the grace of God. Repentance is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Love is the gift of God. He shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All graces are freely given us of God. So the degrees of glory can't be based upon opportunity or works or revelation or light, because it's all the grace of God. It's not what I did. It's what God did. Hell is what I did. If I go to hell, it's because of what I did. So there can be degrees of punishment. But if I go to heaven, it's not based on what I did, based on what He did. Totally on what He did. Now, you can't have degrees of glory and degrees of reward if it's based not on what I did, but what somebody else did. His will be the rewards. The crowns will be at his feet. The crowns will be on his head. You see what I'm saying? There may be degrees of punishment in hell based upon what I did. But there can be no degrees of reward in heaven because heaven's not based on what I did. It's because of what he did. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. His mercy. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So how can you distribute rewards out to people, all of whom received a gift? Now then, there are those who do not like this. I know that. And the laborers who were hired first didn't like it either. Now, did they? They didn't like it either. And evidently the disciples had a different idea about this too. You know, James and John, one of them wanted to sit on the right hand of the Lord and the other on the left hand when he came in glory. And Peter here said, I've followed you all my days. Now what are you going to pay me? What's going to be my reward? This is human nature. That's the reason our Lord said this. That's the reason he said to them, I give you what we agreed on. And are you jealous because I'm gracious? What's wrong with your spirit? Isn't your spirit like my spirit? You see? Can I not do with my own what I will? So here, now let's look at, beginning with verse 1. Turn to verse 1, if you will, and look at this man, and we'll get right into it. Now this man who owned the vineyard went out to seek laborers. They didn't seek him, he sought them. Even so, the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. That's you and me, guilty sinners. We didn't seek him. Here in his love, not that we loved God, he loved us. There's none that seeketh after God. He seeks us. He came to seek us. It's his kingdom. It's his vineyard. We have no claim to it at all. These laborers had no claim. He didn't owe them anything. This man didn't have to hire them. He didn't owe them a thing. God doesn't owe you and I anything. He called them. God calls us. He made them willing to come. God makes us willing to come. And he agreed to pay them a good wage. That's right. He said to them, I'll give you a Roman penny every day. So our Lord who came has promised to us, he's promised to recompense, he's promised to bless us. He said, I'll give you eternal life. Eternal life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He's given us pardon from all sin. He's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit. He's given us sufficient grace for every trial. He's given us eternal glory as the sons of God. That's what he's given us. He says, come to me. Come to my vineyard. Come to my kingdom. This is what I'll give you. Now, then the man went out at different times of the day. Now, you listen carefully to this. And he found more men. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Even as the shadows of the day lengthened, at 5 o'clock, he went out and found some men. What does this mean? Here's what it means. Some are brought to Christ as children early in life. That's right, Timothy. Paul said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy was in the kingdom of God. He was in the vineyard of Christ all his life. He's from the time he sat at his grandmother at his mother's knee and learned of God and learned of Christ and learned of the gospel. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He learned the types. He learned the shadows. And then he saw the Savior fulfilling it. Then there's some who are saved at the third hour. That's somewhere between 15 years and 30 years of age. 9 o'clock. One quarter of life. Then some are saved in middle life. God calls them not when they're children, not when they're 30, but sometime between 30 and 45. Somewhere around that age. 40 and 45. That's noon. Apostle Paul was saved when he was 40 years of age, or a little older. That's right. He came in Timothy as a child. John the Baptist as an infant, child, just a little fella. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But Paul in middle life. And then at three o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, that represents to me people from 45 to 60. Life about three-fourths gone. And then there was the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, one more hour of life left. The thief on the cross. Perhaps some of you listening to me, there's a man listens to this television and God saved him. He's almost 80 years of age. A man was converted in our church a few months ago, 88 years of age. I baptized him, 88 years of age. That's 5 o'clock in the evening. He found them all in the same place. All these people who were hired at early, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3, were all hired in the marketplace. God finds his people in the same place, in sin. He found them all doing the same thing, nothing, idle, in rags, unemployed. He found them. They didn't find him. Nobody was knocking his door down trying to go to work. He went out and found them. He found you. He agreed to give them what was right. Not according to justice, what was right, according to grace. Now, when the day was over and the sun was set, he calls them all in, beginning at the last one, and then going to the first one, and they all received the same thing. So here's what I'm saying. When life is over, and the redeemed of all ages, all saved at different times in life, some early, some middle, some afternoon, some late, when they're brought before the Redeemer, those who've labored long and those who haven't labored at all, they shall all be gathered unto their Lord, and they shall all enter the joys of the Lord, the same joys, the same pleasures, the same life. They will all be trophies of His grace, not their works. They'll all be trophies of His love. They'll all be like Christ. That man who's saved at 88 years of age is going to be like Christ. I'm going to be like Christ. I've been preaching 31 years. He's 88 years of age. But he's going to be like Christ. And so am I. And that's the ultimate. That's the infinite. There's nothing better. If I'm going to be like Christ, why would I want a yo-yo to play with? I'm going to be like Christ. I've put away childish things. What will these material things mean to me in glory when I'm like Christ? There'll be no high and low seats in heaven. There'll be no great saints and small saints. There'll be no mansions and cabins. There'll be no class system such as kings and paupers. We're all kings. We're all saints. We're all sons of God. We're all like Christ in glory. There can be no greater reward than to be like the Master. And this reward business was born of legalism. It was born of a false interpretation of Scripture and a false understanding of grace. It's all of grace. All of grace. We don't deserve anything. We don't even deserve to be like Christ. Now let me offer some observations in bringing this message to a close. I want to offer some observations for your consideration. I want you to consider these things. And you especially who've been taken up with the idea, and I don't know where we get it, but the idea of degrees of glory and special rewards for our works and our service to God. Will you consider these things? You say, I've been in the kingdom of God since I was a child. And here this man, just 80 years of age, just now come in. You mean he's going to have the same thing I have? That's right. It's not fair. What's not fair? Actually, who got the greater blessing? Now listen to me. You who were converted early in life and lived in fellowship with God all your life, you've had the privilege of knowing His grace and knowing His love and knowing His peace. You consider yourself deprived because you've been in the kingdom of God longer than that? I consider myself to be blessed that God let me know Him 30 years longer than that fellow's known Him. My, what a blessing. What grace. What love. Well, what grace it has been to walk with God. Do you not thank God for it? Do you not? Have you considered walking with the Savior to be a sacrifice or a blessing? Have you considered knowing Christ all the days of your life to be you to be deprived of something? Or has that been the mercy of God? That's a reward. And then let's secondly, suppose we do preach. Who gave us the grace to preach? Who enabled us to preach? Who gave us the gift? It's not ours. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? Suppose you sing in the choir and you've been singing there 20 years. Who gave you the voice? God could have made you croak like a frog. He gave you that voice. Why do you take any credit for it? Why do you want a crown in heaven because God gave you a good voice? Do you thank Him for it? Do you thank Him for letting you use it for His glory? Suppose you give. Suppose you have been giving all your life. You've been giving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to missionary programs, to the preaching of the gospel. Who blessed you with the knowledge to earn your living? Who blessed you with making you prosperous and giving you a good job and a good income? Huh? Where did that come from? You could have been a pauper. You could have been an imbecile. You could have been a ward of the state. God gave you a brain. He gave you talent. He gave you a job. And then you talk about serving the Lord. Why, it's all His grace. Not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. How can I accept a reward for something that God did? And then I'll tell you this. You listen to me. And I'll shoot this right at any person who believes that he deserves something in heaven that somebody else doesn't deserve who's saved by the blood of Christ. It's disturbing to me that any believer would want a higher seat than somebody else. I can't connect that with humility or grace or love. It's disturbing to me that any believer, any child of God who says, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm less than the least of all the saints, would want a brighter crown than somebody else, or a greater reward, or a bigger house. This is a denial of everything we preach. And when we render the best we can, you just say this, I'm still an unprofitable servant. An unprofitable servant. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And he that would be greatest among you, let him be your servant. If you want this message on tape, cassette tape, there's a charge for it. They're $3 for two messages. You write to me, and we'll send it to you. The address will be given to you in a moment. Until next week, Henry Mahan, bidding you a very pleasant good day.